This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show, your go-to destination for expert advice on all things home-related. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and for the next hour, we're diving deep into your home improvement questions, conundrums, curiosities, whatever you have going on, from fixing that pesky, squeaky floor to mastering the art of DIY projects. We're here to help you with your house. Just make your house the envy of the entire neighborhood, right? This would be great. So I know everyone's busy. I know there's a lot going on. We want to get things started right away. We only have an hour today. So if you got a burning question in your mind, don't hesitate to reach out. Dial, like you said, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can connect with us live there. But remember, the clock's ticking. You're going to want to get in on this. We've got Cardinal baseball pregame show starts. So we've got 1 hour before we're signing off. Let's make the most of this hour together. So come on, St. Louis. Let's dive right in. Spruce up your homes together. We're going to have a great time. And, you know, one of my favorite things in March is tomorrow. We get to change those clocks and have a little more time, a little more sunlight. I know everybody is definitely looking forward to that, as I am as well. So that's the big thing that's happening this weekend for us all that I absolutely love. But while we wait for some calls, I wanted to finish something that I started last week. Didn't have time towards the end of the show to get everything I wanted to kind of put out there on how to do something last week. So we were talking about how long washers and dryers last. And the question that came about, of course, was looking at a house and negotiating the cost, the price of the house due to older appliances, an older washer and dryer that came with the house. You know, should you do this? And how long do they last is really the question that came up. And the conversation really went to what can we do to make them last longer? So they last 10 to 13 years on average is kind of what all the research experts say that you will find out there. And the biggest damper on the lifespan of washer and dryers is that most people rarely, if ever, think to clean or maintain them. keep up with them? What can we do to extend the life? And kind of quickly going back over that washing machine, leveling the washing machine well, checking it for level and keeping it level periodically, checking the hoses regularly, avoiding overloading, let it dry after each use, keep the door open, let it dry out, and then watch that detergent, use powdered detergent for high efficiencies is the best thing that you can do, but don't use too much. Look at the recommendations I spoke about. Actually, a tablespoon of powdered detergent is what my appliance expert recommends. And if you look at how much that is, it's not much. But looking at the dryer, what do we do to our dryers? Keeping it clean is something that I honestly don't even really think about too much as far as wiping out the inside of the dryer. Keeping the lint filter clean, yep, that's my go-to every time. Get it out of there. It's just going to make things run easier, better, not as hard on it. The dryer hose, clean it, potentially replace it. I'm talking about that exhaust hose. Most of them are the flexible. Some are metal flexible. Some are plastic. They get clogged up. Air does not flow through that very well. So considering making that a hard, smooth-walled, galvanized pipe really helps that air go out and the efficiency of it. But also another big one for me that I find out and see all the time working on homes and inspecting homes is when you install it, the length of the hose, looking at how long the distance is, looking at how you get there and eliminating elbows. Every elbow you add in that line adds approximately 5 feet of distance of straight pipe is how they generally calculate that. So when you're putting that path together, you can look in the manual and find out how long does the motor, how far can it push air? It will tell you, you can have this many elbows and this much distance, or for every, you know, distance you have, every elbow goes in, you add another 5 feet, and you can have too much pipe, too much distance. So checking that regularly too is, if you bought a new home, check into that with the dryer. Look at it. How far is it? It could have been running ineffectively since the day they put it in, and maybe figuring out a different angle, new path, different way to get it there could make that dryer last longer for you. So again, give us a call. Jump in on this. We've got plenty of time for you in this hour. 314-436-7900. We'll have plenty more to come, so stay tuned. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, we are back with the KMOX Home Improvement Show, and right here, right now, we've got plenty of time for your calls, for your questions, anything you got going on, any DIY projects maybe, something you've just been curious about. Jump right in. Join the conversation with me today, 314-436-7900. And speaking of conversations that I have basically every week in my day job, it is good when I do this on Saturdays that I've gone through and I get questions every week. I have conversations about projects pretty much every day. We go over plans and how to build things and best practices. So there's some really good things that can happen and we can be accomplishing when looking at projects and looking at them as a team with multiple people on the team. So we can look at our estimators and my architect and myself from the field and my project manager that's also in the field, and how we work and put things together and what are some of the best practices is a great way to look at how to get through everything. So basically what I'm doing on a daily basis, having these conversations. And I just absolutely appreciate and love the opportunity to do that. And speaking of the opportunity to do that, we have Diane on the line with our first question today. Diane, thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Well, it seems that I've been having the little bubbles in my water when it comes out, and I Googled it and seen it's like it gets cloudy, the water looks milky, and then the bubbles start swirling, and then the water gets clean. It started about 3 weeks ago with my hot and cold. Now it's only in the hot. The cold water did clear up, but now the hot water in all my faucets and all the bathrooms and all that, the hot water is still milky, except my kitchen hot water comes out just fine.
That's interesting that it's just fine in one location, but not everywhere else.
Well, that's what I checked aerators on the other ones. But the cold water said it started out cloudy too, but then after like a day, it cleared up. I checked the temperature on my hot water heater and it was low. It was slightly below 120. So I raised it. Now it is 130 in there. But the hot water, you know, until it gets hot, when it comes out cool, it's fine on the hot water side. But soon as the hot water comes out, it starts to bubble. I put the clear glass under it and it's milky. And then you can see it slowly swirl from the bottom and it goes up. And then it clears within about a minute or so.
Okay.
Except for the kitchen, it's hot water's fine.
Yeah, I would consider flushing out the hot water heater. Have you ever done that? How old is your water heater?
It's, I think, 2018 or 2019 I put in. And it has not been flushed.
Okay. So I would start there and see if that changes anything. Is flush that out. There's a whole system on how to do it. You can look up and basically flush it all out, clear it out. It'll kind of run some water through it to clean all the debris and the calcium deposits and all that out of the bottom of the hot water heater as much as it can get out. And see if that helps maybe clear that up, even though I'm a little suspicious of like why it wouldn't be doing it in the kitchen if it's all the hot water, but maybe there's something clearing it up before it's getting to the kitchen or if the kitchen's the furthest away, that might be part of it clearing up before it gets there.
Well, that's what we were puzzled too, because the kitchen one, I have a two-story house and the kitchen faucet is maybe 50 feet off the bathroom, which is where the hot water heater is at. But I have a bathroom right no more than 5 feet from the hot water tank in a different closet, and that comes out cloudy, but the one in the kitchen doesn't. But then all the ones upstairs all come out cloudy. So that's why I was just total baffled about that. But five does.
If flushing it, cleaning, refreshing that water heater doesn't change anything, you might look into having a water company come out and test it and maybe a water softener. There's some sort of system that would take care of it.
Well, one thing I read online, that if a hot water heater hasn't been flushed like once every year or so, it could be bad for the hot water heater to flush it now. Would it, being this old, would it cause me any more problems than just dealing with the bubbles?
Well, my licensed plumber at Mosby Building Arts, we've had this exact conversation, and he agrees with kind of that theory of once it's been there so long, if you haven't done it every year or two and made it a consistent maintenance, you might be too far in. But it really depends on how much and how bad. and there's no way to know that. So it's kind of a 50-50 shot for that. But I think at, you know, they don't have a lot of lifespan on water heaters, 12 years, something, you know, 10 to 12, 13 years is life expectancy. You're at the bottom third of that life expectancy, and a lot of them go longer. It's not that they don't. You may have this for 20 years, which now you're in the bottom quarter of life expectancy. I would be comfortable flushing it out and then keeping up on that regular maintenance, especially if it helps and works, then you can go to the yearly on that. So great question, Diane. I appreciate the call. I would go that route, see what happens, and I think you'll be fine. And then if it's not, I would start looking at testing water and seeing about systems or water softeners, if anything like that could help that. So for now, we got to get to a break. We've got Steve and Mark on the line. We got a short break here. If you could hold through the line, we'll jump to you, both of you, as soon as we're back. More to come after this. All right, we are back. And anything you need, again, we've got some time today, 314-436-7900. Love to help out. And we're going to jump back to Diane. Apparently, she has a second part of the question on what's going on with her water. So, Diane, sorry to cut you off. We had to get to a break. Didn't know there was a second question. So, what else you have?
Well, it was just one. If I can, the bubbles don't really bother me because it's in the hot water. I just want to know if it's safe. You know, if I don't drink the hot water, but I do make, you know, coffee with it, and that, it would it be safe with the bubbles in it or clearing up?
Yeah, I've heard this happening with the Milky and clearing up, and I don't believe it's anything in there that's not safe. It's kind of like, it's kind of similar to milk when we buy milk and there's an expiration date, but it doesn't actually go bad. And my wife's dumping the milk out day one that, oh, it's passed. And I'm going, you know, it's pasteurized. Actually, you could drink it 3 weeks from now and it wouldn't harm you. It just might not taste as fresh, and or it might taste weird, but it's not going to harm you. So I think you're fine there.
Well, that's why I was wondering. Yeah, because it clears up, and so it just seems like it's only bubbles. But that was just, I wanted to make sure with what you thought. Okay, that was all my questions. I appreciate your help.
All right, perfect. Yeah, no problem. It's a very common situation we hear about all the time. So let's get you to Steve here, see what Steve's got going on for us. Can you hear me, Steve?
Yes, can.
All right, thanks for calling.
I got kind of a weird question. I got a carport, and I got part of it like fenced in, and I sit out here every day, and I got these, I got space heaters, I got propane heaters and torpedo heaters and all that. And I just want to know if I can, I just got a chain link fence running down three sides of it here.
Uh-huh.
I want to enclose that. And I didn't know how to enclose it, you know, because I want to take it down in the summertime. Is there any way I could get, like, I don't know. I don't want it to look all crappy, you know, with like sheet metal or just I don't know what to do, plywood, or I don't want to, you know, make it into like a room. I just want to be able to enclose it so the heat stays in here.
Yeah. So if you think about, there's a couple options if you think about and look at, like, when restaurants make patio areas and they have those little framed kind of walls with almost like awning material with some plastic, and they kind of close off a patio area so it enlarges their space into colder weather with some heaters that people can kind of sit out there and eat and everything. Something like that, I'd look at like awning companies or that would be a good way to do it. And there's also a system from Broadview Screen that called Easy Breeze that they can put between the post. It's kind of like plastic window type material that you can, the nicety of that is you can open and close it and have screens too. If you wanted to, needed some air, you could take the plastic material down and have a screen and let air blow through if you needed it. But that would also kind of help keep the breeze out.
I need a door on the back end of it.
Yeah, the Easy Breeze could have a like a storm door in that system. That would be a great thing to look at.
It's called Easy Breeze?
Yeah, it's called Easy Breeze, and it's from we get it from Broadview Screen Company.
Let me write this down.
Who we have install that for us. All right, Easy Breeze, Broadview Screen is a good way to go, or to do some research on awning type materials too. So, all right, well, let's jump to Mark and see what's happening with Mark. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I just caught the very tail end of the first caller, and she was having some issues with a hot water heater.
Uh-huh.
I happen to be, my hot water heater is 5 years old, and I happened to be down in the basement the other day when it was recharging, and it sounded like a popcorn machine going. What does that signify? It was like a popping sound happening, I'm assuming, when the water was hitting the bottom of the heating, or, you know, hitting the bottom of the hot water heater?
Yes. Yeah, that signifies hard water and deposits in the water heater, calcium deposits, kind of the same thing I was talking about with flushing it out to try and get some of that out of there. So
okay.
5 years, you know, you might be pushing the limit with the side of the industry, including my licensed plumber, like I was saying, that says once you're at that age, you're better off just waiting, not messing with it and possibly having things get worse if you flush it out. But, you know, it's that is hard to say, and you're kind of close there. But if you wanted to, the answer to that is to try and flush it out and get as much of that out of there to eliminate, you know, as much of that popping sound as you can. Cause it can, depending on where you're at in the home, where your water heater is, sometimes it's where you can hear it. You're sitting in your dining room or something, and you're like, what is that noise?
Yeah, the only reason I heard it because I happened to be downstairs when it was going on. And the flushing process, again, quickly, was obviously to hook up a hose to the bottom drain valve.
Yep.
And then just stop, open that up, or
turn off the gas or the power, shut everything down, turn off the water to it, and then drain that out to a floor drain and let it flush out. And then it's a good idea to turn it on, let it kind of run and run water with the hose still open, so it's dumping cold water in and flushing out as much as possible, and then stop it, close it all up, let it fill up, and get it running again.
So drain the existing, turn off the power supply, shut it down, turn off the cold water supply, drain the existing hot water out, and then reopen the cold water supply, and that's the way you would attempt to internally flush. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
And then when you're done doing that, close it all back up, turn it back on, and reopen the cold water supply. Okay.
Yep. And my only other advice would be, if that ends up shortening the lifespan and you end up needing a new water heater, something goes wrong, and they're like, yeah, just it's time to replace it, and you get a new water heater, do that once a year. And okay. then that'll help keep it cleaned out through the life okay. of it. So,
well, what a piece of calcium or something could get caught up in one of the shutoff on the drain shutoff valve. What could possibly happen to damage it by flushing it at this point in time in its life cycle?
I think it's basically because it builds up down there and it's attached to everything. And okay. by flushing it, it just can make the stuff that it's attached to and all that start to go bad sooner and end up needing a new heater sooner than you might have expected. That's all. But okay. it still has all that in there. It's still all, and you're losing some of your life expectancy anyway, regardless whether you flush it or not. It's happening, and you got hard water. So that would okay. be, I'd recommend that for sure. So appreciate the call, Mark. We're going to jump into a short break again. We got plenty of time in the next couple segments here for more.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calls, questions, answers, topics, everything going on. 314-436-7900 finds me right here. We'll be back.
The Voice of St. Louis. News Radio 1120. KMOX.
All right, we are back again. Plenty of time to get some questions in here. 314-436-7900 or from far away, 800-925-1120. Can find me right here, right now. And a lot of water heater talk issues, couple questions. The main thing I would also say on that topic is consider water softeners to eliminate as much of the calcium deposits and what's going on with your water creating some of this. So Aqua Systems is who I personally go through for that. They have great systems, great warranty, great service. And so I would recommend getting with them and talking about, testing the water, figuring out, is this something that could help out my situation? And they'll be good. They'll walk you through it, let you know how it could help, what it could be, what it could cost, the maintenance with their equipment, their service, their warranty. They do all of that themselves. So one of the reasons I like that company that would do everything, and you're not calling someone different if you have issues or something happening down the road. So, but we got John on the line here with a question. So thanks for calling in, John. Can you hear me? What's going on?
Yeah, loud and clear. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
And this might be kind of a civil question. I don't know. Well, live in a small neighborhood, house that hadn't been, touched for probably 2 years. It's just been vacant. And needed some big repairs, I guess, because all of a sudden, the cavalry is over and fixing it all up. But I don't see the usual permit in the window. Now, they did the work, and then all of a sudden they dug out the sidewalk, and then they got a stop work permit, sign up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, should I have been more proactive so they didn't get to that point? Now, what do I do to get the sidewalk fixed, or do I just better off, you know, advised to stay away altogether. It'll be taken care of without my help.
Is this your home or a neighbor's home?
Neighbor down the street.
Neighbor down the street.
Three houses over. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a sticky area because you want to, obviously everybody wants to get along with their neighbors, that, you know, and you don't want to have issues, but there are safety concerns with the permit pulling process, and a lot of what that's there for is to reassure that things are done properly so there isn't issues for the homeowner or like you're saying, anybody around them, to where if you have someone come in and work on your electrical and you don't pull a permit and they're not a licensed electrician and your house burns down, you could take the neighbor's house with you. You know,
right.
I mean,
right. Yeah.
So it could be other people's safety. So it truly is everyone's responsibility to kind of look at that. I wouldn't blame someone, myself or anyone else, for calling and saying there's a lot of work going on. I don't see a permit in the window, because really what happens is they'll show up and say, well, we need to see what's going on. We need to figure out whether they need a permit or not, because it could be work that they don't need a permit for. And that's okay, because it would just be a slight disturbance of an inspector shows up, takes a look around and goes, oh, yeah, no, we'll call the people and let them know that you're just doing cosmetic stuff and everything's okay. So if they're on the up and up, it's not a big disturbance. If they're not, it could save lives. It could save the neighbor's house. It could save a lot of things. So I would always
kind of better off just
recommend
the
you're better
department.
Off.
Yep.
Yeah. If you see something like that again, just give them a call and they can check into it. And it's not a problem. That's why at Mosby, when I'm doing a lot of this, we have a division and people, we have a person that looks into this for every project to make sure, because it's easy even for me to miss something. I might not know everything in every municipality. And he says, well, even though we're not doing electrical or plumbing or HVAC, this municipality makes us have a drywall inspection. So if I'm taking down drywall and putting it back, they want to see how it's attached and screwed and all that before we tape and mud, paint, close it up. Then we still need a building permit, even though it's just on how the drywall's glued and screwed and attached for, you know, a quality product. So there could be simple things that people don't realize municipalities need inspections and want inspections for.
So with that, too, if you're doing something, you can call the building department, like, hey, I'm doing this. Do I need a permit?
Absolutely.
And they'll be like, you know what, we need to get out there, look, just in case, you know. And they kind of make their decisions based on what they see out there, or just, you know, hey, a lot of these people are cutting corners. You probably should come out and look at their work.
Well,
is that what's going on, too?
If you call them for yourself and you're asking them if you need a permit or not, they'll just answer based on what you're telling them you're doing.
Yeah.
If you say, I'm ripping out a patio, it's this big, it's already there, it's already that size, we're putting the exact same thing back, it's just new, then they'd probably go, you're fine, you don't need to have a permit, whatever. If you called for like a neighbor that you didn't see a permit card and they were doing a bunch of work, they would show up and take a look around and find out what is happening. And you know, years ago, before I was with Mosby, I worked for a lot of companies that definitely tried as much as they could to get around the expense and the permitting process.
Right.
And I'll never forget years and years ago working with this company, and me and another guy show up to this house and we're carrying a bathtub into the house. So if you're pulling out a bathtub and putting a bathtub in, you're touching plumbing and you need a permit. And we're carrying it in the front door, and St. Louis County guy with St. Louis County all over the side of his car, just, it was bad timing, driving past as we're walking with a bathtub. And he's, next thing we know, he's at the door, and we're like, huh? And he's like, no, stop. You don't get to put in a bathtub. I don't see your permit card. You know, we're calling the owner of the company. He's like, oh, that was bad timing. And I'm like, how? But if we would have done something not right, that's just a bad experience for the client.
Right.
So
some of these things you can Band-Aid up, and then 6 months later, that new owner is, well, why, yeah, why my water pressure all messed up now? Or, oh, well, we needed 3/4 inch, not 1/2 inch. You know, like things like that happen where they're on the up and up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so okay. If you go into a bathroom and you said, all right, well, I'm going to take out the faucet, the countertop, and the cabinet, and I'm going to put in a new same size cabinet in the same location, and I'm going to put in a new countertop and a new faucet, and I'm not changing location, and I'm not getting inside the wall at all, and you can see how I hooked up to the existing shutoffs, and you can, all this is on outside of the wall, and it's all visible, and I'm not changing anything with how the house works or functions, then 99% of municipalities, you're not going to need a permit for that, because it can be looked at and inspected and figured out at a later date. It's, you know, everything's visible. So calling and finding that out is a great, great thing to do.
Okay. All right. That's reassuring to know I'm not going to be causing kind of a civil tornado. It's like, you know, well, hey, you didn't rake your leaves yesterday. Get someone out of here.
Yeah.
I don't want that kind of neighborhood. And it's like, okay, kind of, yeah, I really appreciate that advice, you know, so I'm not feeling so overwhelmed of causing trouble, but also looking for the future of the future homeowner and so forth, and even protecting my property in a way.
Yep.
And the owners around us, too, we're all kind of protected if we're looking at that.
Absolutely. So, yep. So, yeah, great question. Awesome topic. Appreciate the call. And I'll tell you another little personal story of mine that really more came from my wife watching it happen, because I was at work for the most part and she was home, and we lived out in Florissant, and there's the two houses behind our backyard. The one house put in a pipe on the surface of the ground. They just took their downspout and they put a pipe to it, probably getting water in the basement. So they just ran about a 12-foot pipe sideways towards the side property line just to get the water away from their foundation. It wasn't underground or anything. And there are rules to where you can take water. You can, when you take a downspout drain or a sump pump line that comes outside, you run it underground to somewhere further out in your property, you do have to know the municipalities. You have to understand where you can dump that water or how you can dump that water. And a lot of them have a lot of different rules, but most of them are, you can only be so close to your side property line or so close to the street. They want it in your yard, far enough from the street, not making ice and all. So the neighbor of this guy comes out and just one day moves that pipe and relocates it so it's going more towards the back of the yard instead of the side. And a couple days later, I guess they cut the grass. Well, they move it back towards the side. And this happens about 4 or 5 times. My wife keeps telling me about it, like, oh, yeah, that neighbor went out and moved that pipe again. And then one day I came home and she said, you are not going to believe what happened. She said, the neighbor went over to the other yard, moved the pipe, but not only did he move the pipe, he dug a trench and he buried it in the other neighbor's backyard to make it not dump water towards his foundation on the side yard. So that's a good time you might just call the municipality and say, hey, where can they dump this water? I'm getting water because of them. Let the municipality handle that conversation and just to not go in someone else's backyard and start digging a trench and burying a pipe. But very, very interesting. I found it extremely entertaining, as every day I'd come home and find out what was going on with the pipe in the other backyard. But, hey, it was a great time today. I appreciate everybody. Great calls, great questions. We've got the Cardinal baseball pregame coming up right here, right now for everybody else. I'll talk to you next week, and be good to your homes.